Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, it's been a while, Gus.
Been a minute.
We're back.
Oh, are we back?
We are back.
Did you get out the fax machine, Michael Jordan?
Yeah. I feel like I'm stretching my legs out after, like, being in a coma for a month or whatever. So why don't you give us the normal introduction? Make me feel normal again.
Good morning, and welcome to episode 111 of the Jaguars on SI podcast. My name is Gus Logue, joined, as always, by my co-host, John Shipley. John, it's great to see your face again over the computer screen. It's been even better to see you in person at Jaguars training camp so far. We've had 13 practices so far, and I don't think we've recorded a podcast since then. So today our plan is to literally just go through the roster position group by position group and just spew some takes.
For the record, I would like to say thank you to all our listeners for patience. I received every single one of your tweets asking me when the next podcast episode would be. It never annoyed me. It actually made me happy that people are actually like, you know, hey, where the heck is it? I apologize for the wait. You know, we were switching platforms that we're on. It takes a while to change over to RSS feeds, get all the authorizations and whatnot. But I finished up earlier this week, and we're here, baby. 111. Who would have thought?
Here we go. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? All right. Let's just start off with the quarterbacks. What's been your impression so far, Gus, through 13 practices of Trevor Lawrence? I know, obviously, the sky was falling in the greater Jacksonville area after the first two or three practices. What, he threw, like, I think four picks, like, in the first four or five practices, I think. Yeah. Two to Andrew Wingard that made everybody absolutely melt down. Since then, he's kind of cooked. He's had a good training camp, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I feel like the ball placement has been consistently good. Like, there are definitely times where I think you've seen overthrows to an extent.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is still him trying to get down the timing with the new guys, because he's not, like, overthrowing Evan Ingram or Christian Kirk very often. It's normally a new guy. But I think overall, I think it's been a solid camp for Trevor Lawrence. I'm not going to make any proclamations about a season, because I thought he had a really good camp last year. And obviously, I think he played last year until the injury, but he didn't play like an MVP candidate or anything like that. So not going to draw any conclusions from it, but for the people who were in absolute dismay, like, I did a mailbag after, like, the third or fourth practice, and one of the questions was, after the first couple of days of camp, which quarterback do you think we should watch in college football this year?
Oh, man. Come on.
Jags fans have been hurt.
Actually, but
they have been hurt.
I was never thinking about, like, the early bad start for Lawrence, because it seemed kind of uncharacteristic, like with the two Dewey picks, like they were both blatantly forced throws and throws that I feel like he's kind of like gotten over in his career that he wouldn't attempt at in a real game setting, but he was just trying to make something happen in a training camp practice. And then also there was a lot of talk about how like the defense was winning a lot of games or a lot of days early in training camp. And Lawrence talked yesterday about how it was kind of like almost an adjusting period for them to kind of get used to all the physicality and press at the line of scrimmage. And just like the fact that the defense, whether they're playing match or man or zone, which typically ends up in zone match for them, but regardless of like what type of coverage they're playing, they're almost always like up at the line of scrimmage and not letting any free releases from the receivers and just making their job harder. And so that's where like you've seen some misses from Lawrence's, like, and it's with the younger guys, like you were saying, where there was one yesterday where Brian Thomas Jr. got pressed at the line of scrimmage and he was like a little bit late to see a slant that Trevor threw. And so like this press alignment has been messing with, like, it's not only been like making the coverage tighter in general and making it like so that there's smaller windows to throw, but it's also just messing big time with the timing of the offense. And this is definitely very much so a timing-based offense. I mean, most good NFL offenses are. And so like I was never really too concerned about it because they were still kind of like just growing through the growing pains, I feel like, of facing a new defense, even if it was training camp practices. It was kind of something they hadn't seen before. And then on top of that, they were doing a ton of red zone drills early on. And like whenever it was like a full field 11-on-11 or 7-on-7, there was the defense was still winning, but it wasn't as drastic as when they got down into the red zone and like the field shrunk and all of that. And so it's definitely been, I wasn't concerned about Lawrence through the first few days, but with that said, it's still certainly been good to see him kind of bounce back and be able to display his accuracy, because he's definitely one of those guys that's not like Drew Brees pinpoint accuracy. Well, he'll pin it on the numbers each and every play for 50 throws a game. But he does have the type of accuracy where he knows how to get the ball to like a place that his receiver can get it, but a defender can't. He's also really good at just like protecting his receivers from big hits across the middle. And so he definitely has the accuracy in terms of like throwing guys open. And I think we've seen that in camp so far.
Oh, without question. To your point about the timing, Trevor talked about that yesterday. He talked about how important it is for him and receivers to be on the same page, because he's getting to a certain drop and releasing the ball. He's needing the receiver to hit their landmark. And I think definitely early points of camp, you could see that that wasn't really happening. My vibe was that kind of the rest of the offense was having to kind of catch up to Trevor, if that makes sense, in their adjustment against this Nielsen defense, which, you know, the last two training camps, Mike Caldwell's defense, I mean, corners lined up like 8 yards off the ball. You know, like, it's
Darius Williams will line up like 15 off.
Yeah, so it's definitely a stark contrast from what they practice against. One throw that comes to mind is, I think it was like the third or fourth practice, and Brian Thomas was going over the middle, and Trevor threw it, and, you know, outstretched hands, missed him. A bunch of people tweeting, fans, oh, Trevor overthrew, etc. You actually watch the play. Thomas Jr. stumbles, you know, a little bit out of his break. He's just a second off. That leads to the throw being just tick off. So
yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know which play I'm talking about. Yeah. So it shows you just how like small the margins of error are. All right. Backup quarterbacks. We'll spend a lot of time on
we're
that.
We're not skipping this. We can't go to running backs. All right. Here, hey. Describe Mac Jones's camp in one word.
Mid.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Someone asked in a group chat and someone else responded good. And I was like, what are we watching?
He hasn't been like people. I honestly think people are counting the scramble plays where he leaves the pocket and he's running like it's a game and the defense is just watching him, because he's definitely scored like 3 or 4 touchdowns scrambling. But I'm pretty sure zero of them would have. Sure, touchdown.
Yeah, those are all sacks, actually.
Yeah, and I get it, you know, the personality and everything. But, I mean, he's had some okay throws downfield. He had one to Parker Washington last week. That was impressive. Him and Denzel Mims have kind of had a connection. I think he's been better than C.J. Beathard, but he's definitely been, like, a backup quarterback to me. Like, I haven't seen anything that says if Trevor goes down, they're not screwed.
No, I feel like I've seen some like solid stuff from him in the red zone where he's able to kind of like use his mentals to like get the ball out quickly and like know where to go and put the ball in the right spot. But then like for some reason it feels like the inverse with Trevor, where like when the whole field opens up and there's like a lot more different options, like I feel like there's been so many times when like the pocket has just like collapsed within and like all of a sudden he's just like standing there with nowhere to go.
The most sacked quarterback through camp so far, right?
Oh yeah, easily.
Like whether the defense actually getting him or them blowing the whistle because they're like, "Hey, the real play isn't as long." Yeah. No, I'm with you. All right, so I think we're in agreement that Mac Jones is just like kind of your run of the mill backup quarterback level. I think is
Like
what
he's
we've
a
seen.
solid backup, but like if you're like clamoring for him to start at any point, like go.
See, to me, I don't even know what a solid backup means. Like to me. Most backups, I'm either putting in like the you're a backup tier or like you're Tommy DeVito and you probably shouldn't be in this league tier. Like I'm not
Yeah,
sure how
that's
many.
what I'm saying. Like I think he's like good enough to like be in the NFL, but not good enough to start. So he's a solid
I praise. I
backup.
praise. All right, moving on. Running backs. You had a tweet, I think it was last week, about Travis Etienne pass catching. Trevor. That was the first thing he mentioned yesterday. He mentioned when asked about ETN, he said he thinks he's going to be more of a receiving downfield threat. And he feels like now that he has five options on the field, what's been your kind of takeaway on how ETN has looked? Because I guess the next part of unlocking his game would, like, he had a decent receiving season last year, definitely better than the year before. But is that the next part of unlocking his game and making him kind of like a CMC light type of player in terms of like utilization?
Yeah, I guess so. Especially like because I feel like the Jaguars' offense is like the type that's like they want to attack every blade of grass and be super efficient and spread the ball out. Obviously, they don't have like a top tier all pro receiver, and so with or without that, honestly, like usually you want to spread out the ball out as much as you can just to kind of like put the defense in a bind. And so I think getting Travis Etienne involved will definitely be good to kind of like just almost like open up the rest of the offense a little bit. Because if you have to pay more attention to Travis Etienne, that's less attention to other weapons. And Travis Etienne definitely deserves attention. He and Lawrence were kind of saying specifically like just how dangerous he is in open space. So I wonder if the Jaguars are kind of like looking back at last season, seeing how many like up the middle or even outside runs like were just ended up getting stuffed and just want to make a more conscious effort to get him the ball into space. And so I think it's a good plan, but with that said, like I don't know if I've really it's been cool to hear Trevor and Travis both talk about it, and I feel like they both kind of brought up the passing game work without being asked about it, but I haven't like really seen anything different in training camp. Like I feel like the utilization from ETN has been like swing passes and like check downs and then like a well-designed screen here now again,
You
but
don't see him like line up out wide.
no, like, and I feel like you see that in like other training camps too. Like, fantasy football managers will get like all psyched up because like their favorite running back prospect is like taking slot snaps and like their head coach is promising that they're going to be used as a receiver. But like, it's not like we've heard the coach speak from Doug. And so I'll be interested to see what it actually looks like. But I do hope that ETN gets his opportunities in space because I feel like everyone's kind of. Even people in Jacksonville are kind of forgetting like just how crazy talented this guy is. Like you don't
Definitely.
see ACC all time in rushing yards for no reason.
Is he one of the most non-talked about players of camp so far this year, ETN?
Probably. Like we're
I feel
gonna
like
get to the
there's
other
been
running
nothing.
back. I feel like some other running backs too have gotten some hype. Like Tank, what we're about to get to, has looked actually pretty solid for a second straight off season. And so
Balky ball.
I think there's just a lot of other kind of like moving pieces, and maybe because everyone is like, okay, Travis is objectively a good starting NFL quarterback, then like there's a little bit less, I guess, worry about him, so a little less attention on him too.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I will say it was interesting that Trevor said it's easier to get him the ball in space in the passing game than trying to do it in the running game to an extent. You would definitely see them last year trying to bang their head against a wall with ETN and like, run power or whatever and just pray he finds some space and just throwing him into traffic. So maybe it would do him some good to for them to actually design some stuff to get him into space without having to rely on the offensive line.
He did have that really nice touchdown against Pittsburgh last year where I think
I can't believe.
He lined up outside, and it was like whenever a running back lines up on like the far perimeter, like they're usually just being used as like an indicator, because if a linebacker follows them out all the way out wide, then it's probably man coverage, and then if a cornerback stays out there and covers him, it's probably zone coverage, and so it's usually just an indicator for the quarterback. But I think Travis just like ran a go, and kind of like Trevor must have like hit a honey hole shot, and Travis had a really nice catch and finished the play getting into the end zone. And so that's just one play, but I feel like he hasn't shown anything that would say like he shouldn't get more of a workload in the passing game.
Yeah, that ball was supposed to go to your boy.
Oh, yeah.
he was running an out from the slot, and his route like drew in the safety and left, you know, ETN open. So it was a Calvin Ridley week, I guess. All right, moving on before I get those bits in. All right. Tank Bigsby, the bulky ball of the summer?
Must be, yeah.
we've been burned, Gus. We have been burned.
Have we? Not yet.
Yeah, no. Last year he had a good camp last year and disastrous rookie season, and I was like, he's had a good camp this year. He's been one of their, I'd say, most improved probably players. Like, he's breaking contact, he's breaking off long runs. I haven't seen him drop any, if many, passes. I haven't seen him fumble the ball. Like, he's not making those giant mistakes that we obviously were seeing him making games last year. Now, of course, training camp is much different from when the lights come on, and maybe he's a practice guy, because like I said, he had a good camp last year and it didn't mean anything. But the tank train is definitely on the tracks in terms of high. Like, I feel like the Jaguars have probably seen enough from him to feel at least semi comfortable with him as the, like, he's clearly a number two running back right now. Like, I know fantasy, one of the big fantasy bits around the Jaguars right now is the entire community thinking D'Ernest Johnson either is the number two running back or will be the number two running back. I don't ever see D'Ernest Johnson with the starting offense. Like, no. I think I've seen him like maybe one or two plays. So it's definitely Tank. And what I think Doug wants to do this year is, you know, obviously play good defense and attempt to run the ball, use Tank to make sure ETN's not getting ran into the ground, and try to take some of the game out of Trevor Lawrence's hands to an extent. I don't think he fully trusts Trevor to not turn the ball over. I think that's part of it. And I also think part of it is, you know, he realizes how much they've shot themselves in the foot, putting everything on Trevor Lawrence, asking him to throw it 40, 45 times a game. I think that's the kind of, you know, small ball Doug wants to play this year. Obviously, we'll get to the offensive line's the critical factor there. Almost stole your line, said X factor. But Tank and Travis is a pretty big part still.
Yeah, he's definitely like earned the position of number two running back. And now it's just kind of a matter of how many touches he can earn in the regular season consistently, and like how he's able to get that trust. I feel like he's definitely the player to watch in the preseason to see if he's able to keep up the good vibes from training camp. And then like, I agree that a better running game would help out Trevor Lawrence and the whole team, but also Travis Etienne. And this isn't a new point, but like, ETN has kind of broken down a little bit towards the end of the year in the past two seasons, and just like hasn't had nearly the same juice that he had in week one compared to week 18. And fortunately, he's been like healthy enough to still play and be effective. He just isn't as effective. And so the thought is that he'll be as effective, or just effective through the entire regular season if the Jaguars don't run him into the ground and they actually have a running partner behind him that they trust. So it'll be interesting to see, like, not just like whether Tank gets touches or not, but like when he starts earning like high value touches, like touches in the red zone and touches on third and fourth down. Like, I feel like they were already trying to trust him with that stuff early on last season, and it all kind of blew up. So maybe they'll just like give him like the second and four plunge and kind of like a first and 10, like screen target or something like that. So he can make his way into a more important role, but they clearly like want him to earn that role. And so it's kind of his for the taking.
Sure. All right. There's two rookie running backs in camp, fifth round pick Keelan Robinson and undrafted running back Jalen Jackson. Keelan Robinson has been injured pretty much all camp, right? With a sprained toe. Haven't really seen him do much of anything at all. Meanwhile, Jackson has from Villanova has looked impressive, dude. He's had some good bursts. He's been off some long runs in the stadium practice. He had a really nice catch on a wheel route against Terrell Edmonds downfield. Yesterday, he had a long kick return while on the scout team against the starting kickoff team. So he's kind of showed out. I'm not sure if he makes a team. I think obviously they'll defer to the draft pick if it comes down to it. But in terms of which rookie running back has impressed, it's definitely been him. And it's not a knock on Robinson. It's just he's been injured. Like, we haven't seen legitimately anything.
Yeah, and like Robinson, I feel like is pretty much a lock to make the team, because not only is he going to be like potentially backup running back depth, especially as kind of like a pass catcher, third down type back, but more importantly, like the second kick returner. And since with the new kickoff rules, you kind of need two kick returners back there. And so, yeah, like it's kind of like a long shot for Jalen Jackson to make the team, but I feel like he's definitely earned enough to like make the practice squad, assuming he clears waivers, because I feel like he got some hype and like was playing well. And then like, it just kept continuing. He kept getting more opportunities and then making the most of those opportunities. So that's been pretty cool to see.
Yeah. It's been for like a week and a half. Like he just like made plays. So I definitely with you. Is Keelan Robinson going to be the new Agnew, to where he's on the field on offense at all? Everybody on the field, everybody in the stands, everybody at home knows it's just like a designed like passing play to him.
I know, because I feel like he's not like quite dynamic enough. Like, he's not that he's completely undynamic, but like he doesn't have like the game breaking speed that Agnew had. And so I think like, sure, like he'll be more of a threat as a receiver maybe than a Tank Bigsby would be. But I don't think defenses are going to like all of a sudden be like, whoa, look out, number 31 is on the field. I think like, honestly, Devin Duvernay is going to be in the Jamal Agnew role this year as like the number one kick returner, but then also kind of like a gadget player on offense. And so I think they're going to give Duvernay the same treatment of like, oh, we've got like the speed weapon on the field right now that we need accounted for, because he could either run a slot go and like burn a linebacker, or he could just like take a jet sweep for a first down.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, you're speaking of Duvernay, let's just actually hop over right to receivers. All right. Christian Kirk, I feel like we don't need to talk about that much. He's been Christian Kirk in camp. You know, he's steady, consistent. You know, he's steady Eddie. Gabe Davis, I feel like during the first couple of practices, you could see that he was somebody who was still working himself back to, like, I don't know if you want to call it playing shape, but it was clear that he wasn't, like, 100% yet. You know, he had to get back into the swing of things.
Right.
The last week or so, I've been impressed by him. And I'll say this. I personally have not seen signs that he's going to be used like he was in Buffalo.
Yep. That's what I was about to talk about too.
I feel like he'll get more sideline, like outbreaking routes, more intermediate routes than he did in Buffalo. I don't feel like he's going to be the deep threat decoy. So if you're putting him in that like Zay Jones-esque role, I think he's a good bit better than Zay Jones. That's me personally. I think he's like a couple tiers ahead of Zay Jones. And that's who I think. I don't think he's replacing Calvin Ridley. I think he's replacing Zay Jones in terms of what he'll do in the offense.
Yeah, I agree. When he was first signed, I was like, oh, he's a vertical threat. He's got not crazy good speed, but like good enough speed, especially
at size. It's like a he ran like a 4.53 or something like that. Like, he's not a prototypical deep threat.
So he was just kind of like pigeonholed into that like deep decoy role in Buffalo, I think, because like they had Stephon Diggs, who can obviously like win deep, but you want to be able to like have someone just like respect on the other side of the field. And they've also just been, Buffalo has been getting like their tight ends and their running backs so involved in the passing game that I feel like Gabe Davis, because like the Bills haven't really had like a true vertical threat since Smokey Brown was there 5 years ago or whenever that was. And so I think Gabe Davis, like, he showed that he could do that, but I don't think that's necessarily like his best role, which kind of sounds familiar with Calvin Ridley. But now I think that Gabe Davis will be in a role that kind of suits his skill set more better, because he's got like that big body. And so I think he's going to be able to make contested catches, like not just 50 yards downfield, but a lot more consistently, like 15 yards downfield. And so like, it's now that we've seen a lot of practices, it seems like the formula is pretty determined, where like Brian Thomas Jr. is the Jaguars' deep guy, and he's going to be the guy that's able to like make opposing defenses respect the offense in terms of not squatting too far down in coverages and actually having to play like more too high and things like that. And then Gabe Davis will be used like not as short as Christian Kirk or especially Evan Engram, although Engram has talked this offseason multiple times about wanting to be utilized more downfield. So it'll be interesting to see whether that pans out or not.
We all want things.
There has been like flashes of it. But he had the sideline catch against the Colts in week one last year. And then
never again
against the Titans. I that was 2022, that I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was.
So yeah, flashes, but definitely nothing consistent. So we'll see if that happens. But I think Gabe Davis is going to be like the dig guy. And I was wondering, like, the Jaguars for a while haven't had a deep threat. So it's great that Brian Thomas is there for that. Even if, I mean, we'll get to Brian Thomas, but I think they also needed like an intermediate threat who could really just take on physicality. And not that Christian Kirk isn't physical, but he is a little bit smaller. And so like to be able to have someone that you can find on a backside dig and like whip it between two defenders and not really worry as much about the traffic because Davis is so big, I think that's going to be pretty good for the Jags offense. So you're definitely right where he kind of had like a little bit of a ramp up period and it wasn't like Gabe Davis is flashing right away. But I've been encouraged not just by like his performance, but by his usage in training camp.
I think he's played well lately. And it definitely feels like it's like Gabe Davis intermediate, Brian Thomas deep, Christian Kirk and Evan Engram underneath. Like that's how they're going to, you know, divide these things. You brought up Smokey Brown. It reminded me of one of the worst Urban Meyer moments in that athletic story that talked about their dysfunction. John Brown was with the Jaguars in 2021. It's hard to remember, but I guess he ran the wrong route and Urban went, "Hey, Trevor, you got to slow it down for him. These boys from the South, their transcripts ain't right."
What?
What was wrong with Urban Meyer, dude?
That was so much worse than I thought it was going to be.
You don't remember that?
No. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, terrible person. All right. Brian Thomas. I caused some kind of hissy with fans on Twitter when I said after like the fourth day of camp, I think he's going to be the fourth option in the passing game. Some people interpreted it as me saying fourth receiver, which I don't know. I feel like it's insane that so many fantasy people forget that Evan Engram's on the team. Actually, he just caught so many passes. Like, yeah. I'm clearly including Evan Engram in this conversation. Somebody retweeted me. I was like, Jaguars beat reporter thinks Parker Washington might be ahead of my toss. I'm like, no. No, I do not.
That's actually
I'm talking cool. About the receiver that plays tight end. So I think we've learned a few things from him so far in camp. He definitely, I think, can be the vertical threat that defenses have to respect. Like the last couple of days, he's consistently getting behind the defense. You know, he got behind Ronald Darby. I'm not going to count yesterday. Yesterday, Ronald Darby is going like 25% speed. Yeah, that didn't count. But the other day, he got behind Ronald Darby for a touchdown. He got behind Antonio Johnson, who's playing the deep safety for it. Would have been a touchdown if Trevor had, you know, gotten the ball out quicker. He got behind Jarian Jones last week, you know, for a deep touchdown. He's showing that he can be that vertical guy who can kind of push the ball downfield, kind of make defenses get on their heels a little bit. Where I think he needs to improve and where I think, like, are the areas that show that he's not going to be, like, that dominant alpha male right out the gate. He's struggled over the middle. I think I want to say like probably immensely.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would throw him intermediate, like in breaking route at this moment. And he has had definite struggles in the red zone. So, which makes sense. You know, you take a field stretcher, you're not expecting him to thrive when the field gets, you know, condensed. Cause I wouldn't call him like an overly physical player or anything. You know, he's a great athlete that helps him high point so many balls, but he's not like out muscling or anything like that. So that's about where I stand on, you know, what we've seen from Thomas so far. Like I said, I think he can be a legit deep threat. And I think that's his role this year, you know, be a deep threat, make defenses play back some, hit some designed, you know, explosive plays, but I don't think he's going to be the do it all, can play every single role, all three levels of the field wide receiver right away. And that, to me, that's fine. I think with the evaluation of Thomas coming out of college, that's what he is. People seemed upset when I said that. Like, we took our fourth pass-catching option in the first round. Like, they did, but they didn't just take him for this year. They took him for 2 years when they're trying to move on from some of these other receivers in the room.
Yeah, we talked about this after the draft, how it was a good landing spot for Brian Thomas. I mean, obviously, it's nice to play with Trevor Lawrence, but It's also really nice to like just not be forced to be the number one option right away. Like maybe Malik Nabers will be able to handle that, but it's just that's a lot of pressure, even if you like do have the immediate pro ready skill set. And so like it's been kind of clear in training camp that he's pro ready in terms of like he can play and like be on the field, but I also wouldn't trust him on in breaking routes right now because it feels like the timing and confidence on those routes just isn't quite all the way there yet. But it's a good landing spot for him in Jacksonville because he doesn't have to be that number one option, and he doesn't even have to be the number two or number three option. And so I think, or I hope, like hopefully for his long-term development, the fact that he doesn't have to be the guy right away will be good, and he can kind of just learn throughout the season what it takes to be a more complete receiver. But I agree with you where like I think he's still going to be effective in his role as a deep threat. Like it's kind of easier to say like, oh, just get a DeSean Jackson type and plug him in and your offense will be more efficient. But like there is a little bit of truth to that. Like the thing is, it's just hard to find a DeSean Jackson because like DeSean Jackson is one in a million. And then also just like, even if you have a fast player, like there's only so many people who are like can legitimately threaten from perimeter role. And so like Christian Kirk is like a good deep threat, but he also does a lot of his damage from the slot and isn't as reliable as a perimeter guy. And so like, it's just rare to have that person. And thus it's easier said than done to just plug that person into your offense. But I think with Thomas Jr. being plugged into the offense, even if it's kind of a learning process for him, I think he'll still be an effective player.
Yeah, no, I think you make a great point. Like he'll have an impact on the offense just by being on the field, I think. Especially, like, once they connect, like, that first deep shot, like, that hurts a defense and, like, they put it on film, I think that's when, you know, you'll start seeing defenses really start respecting, you know, Brian Thomas. All right, that's where the other receivers. Parker Washington seems like, obviously, a lock to, you know, make the roster. He's getting a lot of reps with Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, he's Christian Kirk's backup at this point, but Trevor Lawrence, you know, was asked about, you know, which guys have, you know, which young receivers have stood out to you. And Parker Washington was the guy, he said, you know, he said Parker's looked great. He looks much improved from last year. He's like, I'm not even going to name any other names, et cetera, but he will name Parker. So he's a lock. He's had a good camp. Devin Duvernay, I feel like he's an upgrade over Jamal Agnew as a receiver. I think so.
Like, it's not like he's been like hauling in dozens of passes per practice, but like what we've seen from him as a receiver, I've been impressed by.
It's like he's playing a different sport, which shockingly, the guy who's played receiver his whole life and since college is better at playing receiver than the former NFL cornerback, which it's a little bit of sense. So maybe he doesn't bring as much juice as Agnew did in the return game, but I feel like he'll be a much more useful player on offense than Agnew was. Either the last receiver spot or the last two, I think it's Tim Jones and Elijah Cooks right now. I know everybody loves Josh Cephas. I love Josh Cephas. You know, I think he's a great kid. I think he's had a strong camp, but I'm still seeing Tim Jones with all the starting special teams units. That's normally a good barometer for if you're going to be on the team or not. Like for me, like for depth guys, normally guys who are on all these special teams at the starting units, they're normally fairly safe. So like him, the Caleb Johnsons of the world, et cetera, Tyler Lacey's on a lot of them. So I think Tim Jones is making this roster. And then I think Elijah Cooks, you know, he just, you could tell the gap in experience between him and Cephas right now. I personally think on the field. With that said, I think Cephas will be a strong practice squad candidate, and I think he's going to catch probably close to a billion passes in the preseason. I mean, yesterday when they were doing their, you know, getting ready for the game, you know, team drills, Mac Jones and CJ Beathard threw like, I'd say close to a dozen targets to him during the practice. Not all good. You know, one went through his hands and ended up in interception, so he has to improve, but that's where I stand right now. I think if they carry seven receivers, it's Tim Jones and Elijah Cooks. If they carry six, it's going to be close between Cooks and Jones, I think. But I feel like they might give Jones a nod for special teams.
Yeah, I'm with you at this point. I know I had some hot takes in the past about Cephas being a productive NFL player, but I think at this point I'm with you where Tim Jones and Elijah Cooks, I mean, it was always their jobs to lose, but they haven't really lost, I feel like, any traction. in training camp so far. Elijah Cooks, I feel like, has had a pretty nice camp. He's one of those guys that's like seems a little bit more polished, a little bit more confident. Not that he was unconfident last year, but he was.
You can see the difference.
But he was like what, an undrafted free agent rookie last season.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can see the difference. And so yeah, like they're just Cephas hasn't shown quite enough in total for like he's so fun to watch in terms of like a route runner and getting open, but there's just a lot more that goes into that to be an NFL receiver. And so I think Tim Jones and Elijah Cooks have a little bit more of like well-rounded games that can be beneficial for the Jaguars than Cephas just being like a good route runner, especially because like the Jags already have like two like hypothetically sick route runners in Christian Kirk and Parker Washington. Like I feel like if Parker Washington wasn't on the team, then maybe Josh Cephas would get a closer look as like a guy who can reliably create space and maybe be used on special teams. But yeah, I am certainly excited to watch him in practice, but I won't be watching with like the same intensity really as like Tank Bigsby or other players who I know will make the 53.
Friend of the show, Mike DiRocco, has a over under Parker Washington. He's saying he thinks he gets over 25 catches. What say you this year?
Under.
Under? He caught 16 last year.
Yeah, and it was like a pretty I guess he is kind of like the next man up, like along with Duvernay. Like I feel like it's almost like Duvernay is probably like a 4A and Parker Washington is a 4B. Like I wouldn't be surprised. Like I don't think Parker Washington is gonna have any kind of role, assuming everyone above him is healthy.
But he kind of needs Kirk to be off the field, right?
Pretty much. So
yeah, like Trevor said, like he's been moving around positions, and we've seen that. We've seen him play some outside receiver, but I'm gonna just go on the record and say I don't think that would work in a typical game. Like I think he's, and that's fine. You know, he's a slot receiver. That's it's fine. Not it's not derogatory. All right, let's move on to the tight ends real quick. Evan Engram, we don't need to talk about. He's obviously been Evan Engram having a strong camp, all that. Him and Trevor Lawrence are clearly on the same page. Have you seen anything from really the only person that's worth talking about is Brenton Strange? Have you seen any difference in him? Have you seen anything to indicate to you that he will be a bigger part in the passing game? Because I feel like he's been targeted a decent amount in camp, you know, on play action and on like crossing routes and stuff. However, that was true last year's camp too. You know, like he wasn't as ignored in camp last year as he was in the regular season. And in the regular season, it felt like he was like a blocker only. You know, they ran. I've seen people say they need to run more 12 personnel for Brenton Strange this season. I think they ranked like top five in 12 personnel usage last year. They're still throwing the ball. You know, like
he's with Harold more.
Yeah, exactly. And Strange obviously dealt with an injury. Have you seen a difference in him or anything? Like, I thought he had a good day the other day. He caught pretty much everything that's coming his way. I haven't seen him struggle with drops as much as I did in last year's camp. But have you seen anything to indicate that he's actually going to have a role that justifies that second round pick? Because it's not fair to him. It's not a knock on him. He didn't ask to be drafted in the second round. It's just,
if people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, Go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
His role in the team, I still struggle to reconcile that with where he was picked and that he'll be put in a position to make up for that value.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't seen anything that would make me think he's in a position to play more slaps than Luke Farrell. I mean, granted, I haven't been watching many of their run blocking reps, and so like maybe Strange has been a beast in that regard, but I don't know. I feel like if he was a beast, then at least someone – one of us would have been able to notice. And then in the passing game, I agree with you, where it's, but he's gotten more comfortable with drops, or just more comfortable, not with drops, but with catching the ball. But like, he still is like not, he's not clumsy, but he's not the smoothest runner either. And so like, just like, I feel like not dropping the ball is like the biggest thing that I've seen. And so it hasn't been bad, but it's just been like forgettable kind of.
Yeah. Kind of a shoulder shrug.
Yeah. Like kind of like the Mac answer. Like, how would you describe? I mean, Mac has obviously been like more prominent because he's dancing.
Brent Strange has been better than Mac Jones.
Got this whole cool army. But like, I feel like it's kind of like the same thing where it's like, eh.
I get tweets still from like Patriots and Alabama people like saying like, at some point this season, a media member will ask Doug Peterson about his quarterback situation. And I think I told them I will let them personally walk me like a dog if anybody asks Doug Peterson if he's going to, you know, swap out his quarterback. So, yeah, I'm with you on Strange. It's like, it's not that he's done anything bad. It's just, yeah. And again, it's not his fault. He's going to be knocked his whole Jaguars career for being a second round pick. And that is not his fault. And I feel like that's a very important thing to remember. Like, you can ask for those expectations, you know,
yeah.
All right. Offensive line. We won't go like group by group, but here's how, at least from what I've seen, the pecking order on the offensive line is from left to right. It's Cam Robinson, it's Ezra Cleveland, the X Factor. Yeah, throw him up, man. Yeah, Wolverine's not the original X-Men. It's Ezra Cleveland. Mitch Morse at center, Brandon Sheriff at right guard, Anton Harrison at right tackle. Anton's missed some time with concussion protocol, but he was on the field yesterday with an orange penny, doing stuff to the side, helmet on. As somebody who's been covering the league, it's like the concussion protocol. Once you see guys get on the field, that's like the next step for them. So he's clearly like trending, like fine. He's going to be fine. Right. And then Walk a Little is just swing tackle. I think he's going to start at right tackle against the Chiefs while Anton's out. Blake Hance looks like the backup left guard over Tyler Shatley.
Yeah.
Luke Fortner, backup center. He's taking some guard reps. I don't imagine that would be something they actually want to see in a game. Cooper Hodges, the main backup at right guard. Cole Van Lannen behind, you know, Walker Little as a backup right tackle. And with Walker Little, you know, taking starting reps right tackle yesterday, you saw Javon Foster take some second team left tackle reps. So that's how I see it. I don't think Tyler Shatley, honestly, is going to make the team. I think like they carry like Hance and for Hodges. I think Cole Van Lannen probably won't make it either because of Javon Foster. People keep asking me about the offensive line. My take on it from seeing it so far is I don't think it's going to be that much different than last year. Like, Morse is clearly going to be an upgrade over Fortner, but like from what we've seen, at least in camp, I'm not seeing like a, you know, like a iron wall like Trevor Lawrence. Like, it looks like more or less the same product to me. Am I wrong in that?
No, I think that's fair. I'm trying to like think of like something to add, and like the only thing I can think of is like I think I told you yesterday, but I feel bad for Anton Harrison, how much time he's missed in training camp. And then also I feel like going back to last year, like he'll have injuries that like almost seem like they're not his fault. Like, not that injuries are ever to the player's fault, but it's just been tough to see him on the sidelines kind of watching practice, because he was so good last year as a 21-year-old rookie, but he certainly has like more room to grow, especially as a run blocker. And so I feel like it would have been pretty great for him to get consistent reps throughout the entire training camp. But hopefully he'll get back on the field soon after this concussion and be able to just stay healthy for the whole year, because he was dealing with like multiple ailments last year. Like, he had the shoulder thing the entire year, and then I feel like there's one or other two things.
Yeah, he was a warrior.
So it'd be nice to see him have like a clean slate of health.
Yeah, 100%. Pat, are you surprised that they've still been conducting training camp with Ezra Cleveland not healthy? Are you surprised they haven't just canceled practice and told the Chiefs to not come because the X Factor is not on the field?
No, I am a little bit worried about that take, though. I mean, I was trying to back it up in real time by saying, oh, no, maybe he's a better word for it would be the swing player than an X Factor.
It's
not a good sign for my X Factor to like not be getting reps because of injury, especially because I feel like part of the reason I was kind of high on Ezra relatively going into this season is because I thought that having a full offseason to actually play with the rest of Jacksonville's group would be really big, because like you always hear about how continuity on the offensive line is a really big deal and just the teamwork that they have to display with one another. And so I still am like a little bit bullish, because I think that like Mitch Morse being to the right of him is obviously a big upgrade over Luke Fortner.
Sure.
And like Cam Robinson is going to be starting week one, as opposed to not being able to play until week five. But yeah, man, with Anton, like it just would have been nice for them to be able to like actually get every single rep that they could.
My big take is that the injury isn't concerning. Like Doug said, like he's being held out for precautionary reasons right now. I'd expect him to start week one.
Yeah.
What's concerning to me is he's an often injured player who is injured again before week one even starts. You know what I mean? I felt when I traded for him, he was injured. And then he got more injured last year. It's come to the point where it's like healthy Ezra Cleveland is like seeing like a what was it that they called Marquise Lee? A white tiger, something like that. Something like Gus Bradley called him something like that, because it was like it's so rare to see like, it was like when he was hurt. I'll find it.
Wow, that's good.
The last take I have is I don't think it's a battle for left tackle. I think it should be. Here's my hot take. I think Walker Little has been their best left tackle in camp. Walker Little has consistently had good reps against Josh Hines Allen. My apologies, but it doesn't seem like it's a battle. Which to me, it says they're saying, "Oh, we kind of have to start our highest paid offensive line."
Yeah, I guess it would have been cool to see it be a little bit more of a rotation and a little bit more of a battle in camp. But in hindsight, like I feel like maybe we were hyping up this battle so much just because it was the only one that could have like even been a battle. You know, like when we were doing a professional battle preview, there wasn't really like a lot to parse through. Like I felt like there was like a lot of like second number two versus number three roles that were up for grabs. But in terms of like the 22 starters, we kind of know what to expect.
All right. It was actually Greg Olson, the offensive coordinator. It's not Marquise Lee. He said, to me, he's like the albino tiger at the zoo. If you get there and you're lucky enough to get him to come out of the cave and you see him, it's a good day. I've only seen him 3 times since I've been here. And those 3 days, he was very impressive. But he's only been out there 3 days.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's definitely – I was about to say I'm surprised you remember that, but that's a pretty memorable quote.
I don't know why I remember this stupid crap, dude. I really don't. All right. So let's move – move right to defense. Defensive tackle position. A lot of competition there. Adam Gotsis was waived. I know it was like kind of surprising to fans because he's been around so long, but like, again, there are a couple of things I've picked up on over covering training camps where you can tell when a guy is safe and when he's not. Like I said, the special teams, if you're starting special team, that's one of them. Another one is, you know, they get to the point in camp where the starting offense will go against like the third string defense and starting defense will go against like the third string offense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Otsis was with the third string defense for a couple of days. And that to me was like, you know, that is normally a sign that, you know, you're probably not safe. It makes sense to agree. He's more, I think, of like a five tech than he is like a guy who goes three technique and nose tackle. I don't think they're going to be a team that's like, this guy's a three technique, this guy's a nose tackle. I think everybody's going to like play both positions, like depending on the front and the formation you're seeing from the offense. Like I've seen Robson Harris take snaps, you know, at the one technique position, for example. So it wasn't surprising to me to see Gossis released. It's definitely a lot of competition on the defensive line. Jordan Jefferson, we haven't seen much from. He's been banged up all camp with an ankle injury. Eric Armstead obviously hasn't been out there. Haven't really picked up a ton from Roy, I think. But the two guys who have stood out to me have been Devon Hamilton and Mason Smith. Mason Smith, he clearly is a freak athlete. He moves at a different speed. When you see him chasing down plays, you know, you see, I think, the motor and the athleticism. You know, he's, like, making some, like, tackles, like, at the sideline stuff. But yeah, he's further along, I think, as a pure disruptor than I thought he'd be. Like, Ezra Cleveland, when he got hurt, it was after losing a pair of one-on-ones to Mason Smith. And he had it would have been a sack yesterday against the starting offense. So he's a little further along than I thought. He's not going to be Aaron Donald or anything. Like, if you asked me to put, like, a sack prediction, I'd probably say, like, 1.5 or 2. Like, just based on he's a rookie in usage. But I don't think he's this, oh my God, why the hell did they draft this guy player right now? You know what I mean? Like, I think that being in this defense is good for him. Having Ryan Nielsen is good for him. Ryan Nielsen, I think watching him work with a defensive lineman, you know, hands-on has been really cool to see. And then Devon Hamilton, he looks like the Devon Hamilton last year's training camp. Like, he looks like the most unblockable defensive tackle they have. Like, obviously, Eric Armstead isn't out there, but he's been kicking ass. And somebody said to me, well, maybe our offensive line just sucks. Well, it does. Well, maybe he's just kicking ass. Yeah. You know?
For sure. I feel like Mason Smith too, excuse me, like wasn't really flashing a lot towards the beginning of training camp, but has been flashing more and more. So like, I don't know, maybe it's just noise, but maybe like he's just been developing already. And like we've actually been able to kind of see the results on the field already, which would be pretty cool. And so I'm definitely with you where like, I wouldn't expect multiple sacks as a rookie, but it'll be an interesting thing to monitor throughout preseason and the regular season is just how much better he's able to get in the course of one season with Ryan Nielsen and his staff. And then I'm with you with Devon, like where he just looks like old Devon in a good way and is being really disruptive and like not really looking like sluggish or anything and is just making a lot of plays. I also feel like Jeremiah Ledbetter has made a handful of plays, which like I feel like I don't know what, at one point he was signed on to the team, but I don't really remember him at all from any like training camp practices last year, but he's made a difference. Certainly not consistently, but he's had some splash plays and I feel like might be kind of like fighting for one of those last spots on the defensive tackle rotation.
He played a not insignificant role in the defense and the rotation.
Yeah.
Tyler Lacy's also impressed me. I came into the offseason thinking Tyler Lacy was on like the chopping block because when he got drafted, Trent Baalke, you know, said he's like, you don't find many five techniques in college football. He's one of them. Well, this defense isn't using, you know, like, yeah, they use a big end, but you know what I mean? Like a 3-4-5 technique doesn't really fit in this defense, in my opinion. Transformed his body. He kind of looks like a prototypical three technique now, and he's showing really good athleticism. He had a sack a couple days ago. I think he's probably safe. And I mean, him and Mason Smith and Jordan Jefferson, if two of those guys like develop into something, that's pretty good, man. Like they have some young guys to actually develop on the interior defensive line now behind the veteran guys like, you know, Armstead and Hamilton and Robson Harris. All right, let's move on to the pass rushers. Joshon's Allen, he looks like he's 285 pounds now. He's been a complete Hulk in training camp. He's been unblockable. Walker Little's been honestly the only guy who's offered him really any resistance. Trayvon Walker looks like, obviously, a freak again. I think he's going to play the big end role. I think that, you know, he said he's been playing with his hand down more. It was funny. Somebody, I think it was, of course, Mark Long asked him. He's like, "You're not going to miss dropping in the coverage?" And he was like, "No, not at all." And in my head, I'm like, "So you drop in the coverage and pick off Trevor Lawrence?" I'm like, "The 13th play, he's going to do it, dog." So he's still going to do that, but probably much lesser. But I think it's going to be a good defense for Trayvon. And then the other edge rusher spots, Travis Gibson's impressed me. I think preseason will be big for him in terms of reps. Number four spot, obviously bringing in Breland Speaks is interesting. You know, UFL Defense Player of the Year. He's a bigger type body at defensive end. But after Deshaun Dixon went down with an ACL injury, you know, we can see, you know, what he has. I think that DJ Coleman has been, like, the fourth most impressive edge guy. Like, he's not playing the same position as Yusuf Abdullah. Like, Yusuf Abdullah isn't playing defensive end. He's playing Sam linebacker, while Coleman's playing defensive end. But just in terms of rushing the passer and who I think has a higher floor right now as a potential contributor, I think Coleman's been their fourth best edge rusher.
That's good to hear, because I was looking up, like, the end of their defensive end depth after Dixon went down earlier in the week. And, I mean, Coleman was an undrafted free agent last season and then didn't play a snap on defense or special teams during the regular season.
He was practice squad all year.
Yeah, he was practice squad all year. And so to see something from him is definitely obviously a good sign. I'm interested to see, like, what Rasheem Green might have to offer, just because he's been actually, like, more productive than I was expecting. He has 19 sacks in his career. For context, I think Travis Gibson has 11 and Trayvon has 13.5. And so he's, like, gotten to the quarterback. It's not like he's DJ Coleman, on the other hand, who has zero quarterback hits in his career. And so, like, that'll be kind of an interesting battle, I think, between the, like, younger guy and the older guy to see what kind of role, if any, like, they'll be able to carve out in the edge rotation. But I know you've said this before, but I feel like people should expect Eric Armstead to take not significant snaps, but some snaps outside of edge to kind of, like, make up for the depth there.
What's going on record and saying that? I think that's so stupid.
I think it's fine if you want to do it, like, a handful of times in the season and, like, just have, like, a cool blitz package for 3rd and 15. Yeah. And, like if you're, like, no, you're going against, like, a poor left tackle or right tackle and you're, like, hunting for that specific mismatch, then yeah, sure, I think it's fine. But, like, just lining up him out.
At any point refer to him as their number three edge, that deserves plenty of criticism, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, just want to clarify that. All right, moving forward.
Like, not a problem solver for the entire defensive line. Like, the interior needed juice. And so, like, now you got juice in Eric, but, like, you can't expect him to also provide the same juice outside. Like, he's not going to do everything for you. You still need something else, whether it ends up being from Gibson or Coleman or Green or whoever. Like, it would definitely be good for the team if, like, they had someone in that group step up so that, like, Armstead wasn't kind of pigeonholed into playing more edge.
100%. All right. Move forward. Linebackers. Fourier is obviously in his spot. Devin Lloyd, way bigger. I think he says he gained like 12 to 15 pounds. We were vindicated in that. He said he's like in the 250s area now. You look at him in his rookie minicamp and he looked like a freaking strong safety. So it's definitely bigger. He's playing the Mike position now. I think people have read way too much into it. They're like, why are you putting Devin Lloyd in the middle? He's the one who has struggled with assignments. I think the middle linebacker in this defense is the one who has, like, less responsibility. You're kind of just being planted in a spot, whereas the weak side linebacker, and you've seen it some Fourier, he's moved around some. You know, he's, like, creating mismatches, you know, as a blitzer and stuff. So that makes sense to me. Strong side linebacker spot, yeah, it's Chad Muma, Yusuf Abdullah. I think Chad Muma has a decent gap above him. Thought that Ventrell Miller, you know, he's taken some snaps there. I thought he would compete for that spot, but it seems like he's kind of Lloyd's backup right now, or Fourier's backup, whatever you want to call it. Like, he's like the next backup, like, off-ball linebacker.
Right.
Chad Muma, maybe you see some snaps of him at an inside linebacker after Brian Nielsen called him a multi-positional player. He can rush the passer. He can cover. What can't he do? Yeah, I
Echo Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. He's obviously tested like a really good athlete. So maybe putting him at strong side linebacker will, you know, do something for him. I don't think that's going to be like a heavily used role in their defense, but like it's game specific. You know, if you play offenses that play with heavier personnel, you're going to see it more often. I don't really have many takes on like the linebackers on that. I think Ventrell Miller's had a good camp. I think he's been really encouraging. Obviously the hand injury isn't like he's definitely has missed some reps. Like it's not like a season ending injury. Somebody was like, why is it such a, like, I called it brutal. And they're like, why is it such a big deal? It's, he'll be fine. And it's brutal because like he got basically no reps last year. You know, he missed the entire season, missed an entire year of regular season practices and stuff. He needs as many reps as he can get. And just to me, reps with the red jersey on are just never the same as they are with our regular reps. Plus, no. He has one hand right now. The other one's clubbed. Kind of feel like, you know, we saw Devin Lloyd try to catch interceptions with a clubbed hand last year. So, you know, I feel like a second hand would be semi-useful in a professional football game. But other than that, man, he's another one kind of like Ezra, where I'm like, a lot of the time I've covered you, you've had some kind of injury. It kind of makes me raise an eyebrow to an extent. And, like, it's not their fault. It's just some guys have bad luck or whatever. But other than that, I feel like he's had an impressive camp, like to the point where I'm excited to watch him during the preseason.
For sure. I was going to say that, too. Like, I think he's been one of the most improved players in camp because I feel like last year he was, like, just, like, not really doing anything impressive and was, like, almost in the doghouse before he ended up tearing his Achilles. And
he seems much more mature right now.
Yeah, I almost thought he like might have been a candidate to like miss the roster, even though he was a fourth round pick last year. And like I didn't like think he was actually gonna not be on the team, but I thought it was like his offseason was enough to like have that conversation. But this year he's definitely been improved in terms of like obviously on field availability, but then as you said, like maturity, and I feel like he's had like the Devin Lloyd thing where Lloyd has talked about like how he's like not having to think as much and is able to just go out and play. I feel like I've seen that from Ventrell too. And so like he's definitely going to be a guy I'm keeping my eye on during the preseason because he hasn't played a live football game since whatever his last game was with the Gators. So I'm and I feel like he can be a solid special teams contributor too.
Oh yeah. No, he's definitely has been on a lot of special teams units. So he's definitely a guy to watch in that regard. All right. Last two position groups, cornerbacks, safeties. I'm like impressed by some of the young cornerbacks. Like it definitely seems like they've taken to the scheme. I think Ronald Darby's clearly going to be a starter across from Tyson Campbell. I don't really think Jarian's it's clear, right?
He's been legit. But yeah.
Darby's been fantastic. He can still run. You know,
that was what I was thinking too. Like that was probably like the biggest, maybe even only question for him. Like obviously there's some durability concerns only because of his age, even though he has been healthy pretty much through his career. But like also with that age, like you're probably going to slow down a little bit, but he's been like matching Brian Thomas step for step and like is really able to cover every area of the field. It's not like you're just going to have to like relegate him to being a cover two corner who doesn't players downfield. I've seen nothing but good things from Darby
for sure. So I think you can pencil him in as a starter. Jarian Jones, he hasn't had like the spectacular training camp like he was having a spectacular like OTAs. I think he's had a solid training camp. He's made some plays on the ball. It's definitely, I think, been a learning experience for him, you know, especially it seems like their intended role for him right now is, I don't think he's a second nickelback. I think Christian Braswell is. I think Jarian's their first backup on the outside. So right or wrong, I personally disagree with it, but right or wrong, it seems like that's his role right now. He's clearly going to make the team. Darnell Savage, I know, on the depth chart, he's listed as free safety. I know. I saw it. I have yet to see him take a single snap anywhere but the slot. So until I do, he's their slot cornerback. There's no question about it. I feel like he's had a solid camp. He's worn the red non-contact jersey, but he's practicing fully. It's like not like keeping him out of anything. He's just, they're obviously trying to limit contact as a precautionary measure after his shoulder injury last year. I think he's been impressive. I think Christian Braswell is going to make the roster. He's going to be Darnell Savage's backup. Him and Jarian Jones will be on special teams a lot. So that's what Darby, Campbell, Jones, Braswell. I think DeAndre Prince is obviously going to make the roster. You know, he's going to play both special teams. He's had some really promising moments in camp, you know, showing some good ball skills, some good physicality, even though he's not the biggest guy. So he's going to make the roster. Gregory Jr. got injured, waived. He was kind of not having a he wasn't going to make the team.
Yeah.
Maybe if they carry six corners, I think Buster Brown will make the team. But if they carry five, I don't think so. I just he's had a really pretty, I think, up and down camp. Like, he's made some plays on the ball, but he's been burnt a few times as well. I'm trying to think. Like, Trey Flowers hasn't really stood out much, in my opinion. Devon Campbell has made a couple plays here and there. Other than that, that's really about it for the cornerback room. You know, I think I think it's been like an emphasis on the young guys, Braswell, Jones, and Prince, getting reps and improving. But they're going to trust their three veteran defensive backs, Tyson, Darby, and Savage, to kind of open the season. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like this might be the most improved position year over year, because, like,
it's all good.
I feel like last year we had some big concerns about the edge depth and the corner depth. And now I'm still a little bit concerned about the edge depth, but I guess if you have Eric Armstead in your back pocket, it could be worse. Like, with a defensive back depth, like, I obviously Tyson Campbell signing his contract extension helped kind of put this extinguish this take that, like, we were thinking that maybe the Jags would take a cornerback in the first round next year. But now, like, with not just Campbell's extension, yeah, but the way that, like, corners have been playing in camp, like, I don't know, Darby looks, again, like, legit, and not just like he's going to be able to, like, hang around for the regular season, but will be, like, a real contributor, and hopefully, like, the playoffs, and then also, like, for another year or two. And then, like, Jones has been a little bit up and down, especially more recently, and I kind of feel like whenever he loses a rep, it's, like, outside of the numbers, which makes it interesting that, like, he's going to be an outside cornerback for them starting out. But yeah, man. But De'Andre Prince also, like, the question mark I had for him was, like, he definitely had the speed coming out of college, and, like,
he's skinny though.
You're gonna hang your hat on, like, one trait for a cornerback, it's probably speed, because, like, yeah, or else you're gonna have to, like, play zone shell coverages every single play if you can't, like, trust guys to run downfield with receivers. And so Prince had that ability coming out of college, but as you said, he's a little bit undersized, but the physicality has certainly been there. He's had great pass breakups against, like, starters like Christian Kirk and Gabe Davis and
Elijah Cooks.
I feel like he's been, like, suffocating some of the, like, receivers that are lower on the depth chart. And so I've definitely liked what I've seen from him. And so in terms of, I mean, I did like Darius Williams, so I won't say the top of the depth chart, but for the bottom of the room and then just the room as a whole collectively, I feel more confident at this time this year than I did this time of last year.
Jones, Prince, and Braswell are better backups than Brown, Jr., Devon Campbell, whoever they had as backups in the year. I agree with that 1,000,000%.
Jr. Like, the coaching staff kept talking him up, and, like, I guess he, like, he had some, like, solid practices, but, like, he was, like, the guy that, like, was getting the Parker Washington treatment at this time last year. And then, like, I knew what I was seeing. Come on.
Yeah. He was definitely more of a fit in the last defense. And, like, he is one of those guys who I think was kind of a casualty of the changing scheme. So that definitely makes sense. Yeah, no, they're not taking a corner next year. I revised that take. Mark it down here.
I revised that take.
9:48 a.m. August 9th in the 2025 draft, the Jaguars are taking a left tackle or a right tackle. They're taking an offensive tackle. That's fine.
But yeah, that's what it means, Jared. I think the tackle is fair.
Yeah, that's my take. All right, last group, and then we're going to boogie out of here. Safeties. Andre Sisco, Antonio Johnson have been the starters as, you know, expected. Daniel Thomas getting reps behind them. Andrew Winger was having a good camp, but he had a knee injury. They keep saying that he's going to miss, like, significant camp time. I think it's going to be like a Cooper Hodges situation last year, where he's going to make the 53-man roster and then immediately be put on injured reserve and miss some time. Because if you put him on injured reserve now, he's going to miss the whole season for an injury that likely isn't season-ending. So it makes more sense to kind of just bring him onto the 53-man roster and then injured reserve him from there. But I feel like Josh Proctor has made some plays here and there. I don't really feel like he has much of a chance for the roster. It would be interesting to see if Adrian Amos, like, Yeah, he's definitely has lost like some juice. He's 31 now. He's been in the league for almost a decade. But it'll be interesting to see if he has anything left. I think Terrell Edmonds has made some plays, and I think he has a chance to make the roster as like a bottom of the roster guy. Like, I'm not going to say like a good chance, but he has, I think, a fighting chance.
I think so too, especially more so than Josh Proctor. And like,
I think so.
DeCisco and Savage and Daniel Thomas are locks, or Cisco, excuse me, and Antonio Johnson and Savage or and Daniel Thomas are locks. So that's three players. And then like, I think they're going to might only carry three if they have Dewey on injured reserve.
I think they'd carry four. I think they'd carry four. So Edmonds, I think it'd be Edmonds in that instance if you carry four. Has Antonio Johnson stood out to you much in this camp? Like, he's made some plays. Like, he had a sack yesterday. He broke up that deep shot for Thomas Jr. the other day. It was a late pass, so he doesn't get 100% credit on that. But has he stood out much to you in camp?
No, not really. And not necessarily in a negative way either. Like, it's not like it would be bad if he was standing out in a bad way, like letting up a lot of plays. But he's been, like, I feel like, a little bit just not forgettable, but like unmemorable. I guess that means it's the same thing, but like, yeah, I feel he hasn't really made a huge impact. And so maybe that'll change during the regular season. It's not really like you really need him to make a big impact, because like they have an impact safety in Andre Cisco, who just had a interception practice the other day. And so like, as long as Johnson is like able to provide some juice in blitz packages and then like just kind of like do his job in the middle of the field, like, I think Jags fans should be happy with that.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, Gus. It's time for us to get out of here. We're going to record some point after the Chiefs game. Before we go, give me one thing that you're looking for on Saturday. I'll go first.
Okay. Right.
Okay. I'm trying to watch the second year guys, see if they've really taken that step. Tank Bigsby, Bryn Strange, Parker Washington, Tyler Lacy, Antonio Johnson, Cooper Hodges. Am I missing anybody? Ventrell Miller. I'm trying to watch the second year guys, because obviously everybody's going to want to watch the rookies, but you can just see the clear difference between rookies and second year guys in camp, I think, because you're watching second year guys a year after them being as rookies, and you're like, wow, they look much different. That's just kind of like the natural progression, I think. So that's what I'm looking for against the Chiefs.
I'm looking for Tank Bigsby in the running game. And the running game in terms of, like, obviously it would be nice to see if it's going to be effective, but more so just, like, the types of plays that they call. And, like, they're certainly not going to, like, show their whole playbook to the NFL in the preseason or anything like that. But, like, I feel like a lot of fans are kind of like, oh, Mitch Morris is replacing Luke Fortner. Automatically the run game is going to be fixed, or at least significantly better. And like, that should make a difference, but like, that's not going to be like, that's not a one thing that's going to fix everything. And so I think like one thing that I know Press Taylor and maybe Doug Peterson too has talked about in the off season is kind of going back to look at the run game and kind of simplify a little bit and try to stick to one or two things. Cause in 2022, they started out as like an inside zone heavy team, and then they kind of expanded from there. And I don't know if it's because, like, they weren't dreadful in inside zone, so I don't think it was necessarily, like, because they were like, oh, this can't work, or this isn't working, we have to find something else. But I think they were just trying to be more diverse in the run game, which is a good thing, and just in a little bit of a way, throwing things at the wall to see, like, what stick and see what they could be good at. And then I feel like last year it kind of, like, bit them in the butt a little bit, and, like, they were just, like, trying to do too many different things and too many different schemes. And, like, especially with, like, such a rotating cast offensive line, it probably wasn't helpful. And so I'm interested to see if, like, they're going to, quote-unquote, major in, like, zone runs, which I assume would be the expectation. Especially because, like, I'm also interested to see, like, they do not as many, like, bootleg rollouts as, like, the Niners or, like, a McVay team or something like that might do. But they do enough where I'm like, I feel like we need to like see some wide zone runs in order to like actually set up this type of play call. And so I'm interested to see, look for wide zone plays specifically, but also just look in general to see if like they're sticking to zone, or if they're doing like a ton of just like pin pull and like outside pulling concepts right off the bat. So I want to see like just how diverse the run game is and whether they've shortened it up. And like, since it is the preseason, like it probably will look fairly basic, but it's still going to be something I'm trying to watch.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. All right, guys. You got anything to say to our loyal following before we boogie out until next week?
It's Calvin Ridley week. That's all.
Oh, God. For the record.
For the record, that was a bit. So don't get mad at that.
No, it was not a bit. It was not a bit. You were fed up with the bitter Jaguars fans, and I agree with you. I agree with you, and you wanted to let out your frustration, and I'm glad you did it instead of me. I'm pulling up the tweet just so I can see what the numbers are on it now. Okay.
Yeah, dude, the bookmarks were crazy.
You have 92 replies and 65 bookmarks, and I agree with you. Jags fans are, in my opinion, the obsession over Calvin Ridley is really stupid. They're going to end up looking wrong for this. But I'm glad you did it instead of me. So it's a Calvin Ridley week.
I'm not trying to be clickbaity. Like, I've seen people try being like, "Oh, I'm just walking the dog." I'm just trying to stand up for Calvin Ridley because I think he's a great player, and I'm just tired of seeing like the hate, honestly, on social media about him. And it's like, weird. I wonder, like, the fact that he went to a division rival in free agency. Maybe that has a lot to do with it. Obviously, like, he dropped all his touchdowns last year, but like,
yeah.
Like, someone, one person commented, like, he dropped 6 or 7 touchdowns. What are you talking about? I'm like, the amount of people who are even in the position to catch 6 or 7 touchdowns in the league is, like, a very short list. And so, like, I don't know. You and I saw it firsthand, John. Like, he's an extremely talented football player. And so I hope that he's used in a more – in a way that's going to better suit his skill set, unlike last year.
He'd be far and away the best receiver right now.
Yes.
I keep seeing Jags fans say the receiver room is better this year. And like I said, Gabe, I think, is a good bit better than Zay Jones, but Calvin Ridley would be their best offensive weapon right now.
Like, just taking it personally for some reason. Like, another person's like, "Oh, like, I'm rooting for him, but he did kind of like jip Jags fans by signing with our arch rival." It's like, why would he care what you think? He grew up in poverty, and now he's going to be able to get generational wealth. Why would he care about you?
Tweet it at him. He'll reply. All right. So
now I'm
with
trying
that said,
I'm venting here instead of on there.
Yeah, I appreciate you. So again, thank you guys from the bottom of our hearts for caring so much about this little thing that we're doing to ask us as much as you guys did. We're sorry about the delay. Proud to be back. Horns up, horns down. Yeah. You all just got bulky bald, log bald. Thank you guys, as always, for joining us. We will be back next week.
Yeah.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you, guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.